The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. I have a couple of ladies on the telephone. Did some techno magic here. I got two on the phone at once. And we're going to be talking about the events coming up this weekend in Port Austin, Thumb Arts Guild Art in the Park for this weekend. We have Patty Finan and potter Deb Maxwell, who will be displaying some of her craft, and will also be participating in the lighthouse competition or lighthouse sale that is a sort of a theme this year. And thanks for being with us, ladies.
Good morning. Thank you.
I guess first of all, Patty, Art in the Park. It's this weekend.
It is this weekend, amazingly enough. It's come so fast, even with it being late, it seems like it snuck up again. But, yes, we go Saturday and Sunday for Art in the Park, and then Friday night is our silent auction. It runs from 6:30 to 8 at the Welcome Center. And we have a lot of the artists that are in Art in the Park will donate a piece for us to auction off. So it's a really great way to get some amazing prices on some wonderful, wonderful artwork. So if you're looking for something unique for a gift, and I hate to say it, Christmas, when it's 90 degrees outside, but there are great ideas for Christmas gifts as well. So it's a really great time to come and get a great bid on you know, wonderful artwork. And that's Friday from 6:30 to 8 at the Welcome Center in Port Austin.
Now it's 76 degrees outside, and you're talking Christmas. You know.
Well, we just want to get to thinking forward, right? Do some shopping while you're here.
But the thing is, these are items you will not find anywhere else.
To see a lot of different types of art. So.
But these are items you'll find nowhere else.
Correct. Yeah, and they're all unique. I mean, they're all made by some local artists, some artists from further away. But we'll have over 40 artists participating in Art in the Park this year. And it does run 10 to 5 both Saturday and Sunday. And we have a lot of other stuff going on. So we've got the kids' tent, you know, where they can make all kinds of different things this year. We're going to have paper bag hats. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see a lot of kids walking around the park with their hat creations. And kids can also paint some of the masterworks and then, or not paint, but color some of the masters. And we'll cut them up into puzzle pieces for them so they can take that home. And then there's also the clay where they can form the clay and paint it. So that's at the kids' tent, and that goes 10 to 5 both days as well.
And we've talked about this in years past, that, you know, young people, this is where they get their spark for art. It isn't something that, oh, I'm 60 years old, I think I'm going to do this. You had that in you all along from some point earlier in your life, because it just seems to grow naturally in kids.
That's true.
And will there be demonstrations as to some of the artwork techniques out there?
Yes, there will. Actually, on Saturday and Sunday, both mornings at 10:30, Dave Femmel will show us his lathe. He does woodwork and wonderful, beautiful woodwork. And so he'll bring his lathe and do some demonstrations at 10:30, both Saturday and Sunday. And then Saturday, Deb Keene will be doing her wood feathers. And, yes, they are feathers made out of wood. It's an amazing, amazing thing that she does. And she'll give a demonstration of how she takes her piece of wood and gets it down to where it looks like a feather. And then Dwayne Wurst will be demonstrating on Sunday at 1 o'clock. He does acrylics, and he'll also have some of his new books out there that he will autograph and talk to you about. So that'll be Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Now, at this point, it looks like we've got good weather.
Yes, we're all keeping our fingers crossed.
You know, things can change in a few days, but, you know, so far it looks like your time for Art in the Park is going to be a wonderful Labor Day weekend event. How long have you been doing this? I know we've done shows for years.
Yes, we have. This is our 14th annual, so yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Full-blown teenager now here with Art in the Park.
That's right. Growing pains.
Ah, it's about the years they start giving you trouble. Hopefully not this year.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. We've got the bands coming back from last year as well, too. I don't know if we talked about the music, but the Saturday is 11 o'clock. It's Bill Denbrock Big Band, so everybody knows who they are. They're a 14-piece swing band and play wonderful, wonderful music. And 2 o'clock is a George Swaler Trio, and they're it's hard to describe. They're kind of folks and bluesy and all kinds of different very wonderful music. And then Sunday, Dee Dee Tibbetts will start off our morning at 11 with her dulcimer and tin whistle and flute and all the different instruments that she plays. And then at 2 o'clock, the Spring Street Boys will finish us off with a bang with the rock and roll and that on Sunday at 2. So bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket, and sit on the hill and listen to the bands.
Now, I also understand there's going to be food there by the North Huron class.
Yes, class of 2019. Doesn't that sound a long way away?
it makes us feel so old.
The freshman class this year are going to be providing the brats and the hot dogs and the snacks and the drinks.
And it's a fundraiser for the class of 2019.
Right, exactly. It'll go into helping out their programs all throughout the year. I would imagine all throughout their high school time, yeah.
Terrific. Deb, when I think of pottery, I always think of the wheel. Is that kind of the difference between sculpting in clay and pottery is the wheel?
You can use the wheel. Absolutely, and that's what I do. And I also hand build, so you don't necessarily need the wheel, but you can hand build in clay as well. So I do both.
Because you can't make a square pot out of a wheel that's turning.
Well, you can if you alter it.
Well, I could because I'd probably mess it up and it would look square, but
yeah.
That would
well,
be
there's
me.
There's many methods in clay that you can achieve your goal.
Is this something people can start without a lot of, you know, expense? I mean, do you start off, you know, when you think of clay, you can buy the clay, but the, you know, the wheel, you start thinking of expenses, but you don't necessarily have to start with that.
Correct. All you need is a bag of clay and a few tools, and you're on your way to making your piece. It's good for people starting out is take a class at a community center, at a college, at a studio like mine. And once they get started, they get bitten by the clay bug, and then they do purchase a wheel, and then they do purchase a kiln, and then they do start their own studio. So I've had many students do that, where they've studied at my studio for a number of years, and then they've gone on and become a potter on their own. So that's kind of nice.
Do people kind of improvise? Does some people say, oh, I have my spouse turning that lazy Susan I never use and use it as a potting wheel?
Well, you can make handmade wheels, but it's a little bit difficult. If your husband is industrial and he can figure it out, then
oh,
awesome.
No, you make
but
him sit there and turn it.
There's a lot of used wheels on the market that you can get and used equipment, and that's how I started. I bought everything secondhand, and then I sold it, and I upgraded, and now I have the equipment that I need to do what I do.
Do they have to turn at different speeds for different size projects? I would think a larger bowl, you wouldn't want it to be trying to flare out, whereas something smaller might need a little faster one?
It's all in the process. You start out fast, and then you end up slow with each piece you make. If you're making a bowl, or if you're making a mug, or if you're making a plate, you start out fast to center the clay, then you open it, and then you form it, and then you're at a very slow speed while you're doing those last two steps.
And is clay, I know there's red and then there's white clay, depending on how if you're going to glaze it a certain way or not, but do you need to find the right kind or grade of clay?
Yes, and I use about 5 different types in my studio. You have a low fire, you have a mid-fire, and you have a high-fire range, and you can also use porcelain. You can use a raku clay. So there's many different clay bodies that do specific things. So when you're trying to get your specific project, you use that type of clay to make that work.
Is it mainly for the finish you're trying to get, that you need a lower-firing clay because you don't want to scorch what you're going to use as a glaze on it, that type of thing? Or?
It depends on your end product. If you want, you know, some fancy things that maybe might not be eaten off of, and you do a low fire and you can get finer colors and brighter colors, you would go low fire. Or if you wanted something very sturdy and durable, you would go high fire.
Okay. Around my house, they better be high fired.
Well, I think it's so interesting with the pottery is that you don't know what you're going to get when you put it in the kiln. You know, it's like you don't know what the glazes are going to do, and that just is amazing to me that they all turn out so beautiful.
Are people surprised what you can make through pottery? I mean, everybody thinks of cups and mugs and maybe a bowl or a plate, but is there a lot more that you can do with that?
Oh, absolutely. You can use the wheel and a project to start off and then take that and alter it, and it can become a piece of sculpture, it can become a piece of wall art. You can do many, many things with that clay.
Because it'll give you the base, and then you hand work it afterwards?
Yep, absolutely. So if you have an idea, if you sketched out in your sketchbook and you want to end up with a different-looking mixed-media piece, you would start out as the basic on the wheel and do what you need to do. And then as it's drying, you would alter it and make it into the sculpture or wall piece that you had envisioned.
Is this something, you know, obviously you're not going to do it in the living room. It sounds like it would be a little messy.
It's very messy, yeah. If you got a closet, a basement, a garage, an outdoor patio, enclosed greenhouse, something like that will contain the mess.
And if you're just starting out, obviously you're not going to want to, you know, if you get the wheel, you know, and get you that far, you're not really looking right away to buy a kiln. Is there places you can go to have this stuff fired? Is there somewhere that, you know, you can take these unfinished pieces? Because it sounds like that might be the biggest expense.
Absolutely. Yes, you can get enrolled into community programs. You can go to a community college. You can go to a four-year college. Or you could come to a private studio and take lessons, and then you would use their equipment, work in their studio. So there's several potters up here in Port Austin, and we do offer classes.
Terrific. Is this something most people pick up, or do you really need the gift?
You can work at it. Some people have a gift, and then others have to work at it, but eventually they do get the hang of it.
And you can, you know, make original pieces. You know, people think about, oh, I'll make some mugs, and none of them look anything like the other one. Is there? Do you learn to be consistent?
Yep. After a while, you just do a repetitive exercise, and you use the same amount of clay, and you use the same hand motion. Same thing in golf. You use the same grip. You use the same stance. You use the same swing. Same thing with clay. You're gonna do the exact same thing every time to get the same end product.
It almost sounds like you're two artists in one. You're actually making the physical form, and then you create it all over again with the glaze or the coloring or how you want it to be finished.
That's true. When I take a special order, I have to make it, dry it, fire it, then I glaze it and fire it again, and that's a normal process, depending on the drying time, of about 2 weeks minimum. But sometimes if we get some nice drier weather, we can get things dried in a day, and then we can fire them within 3 or 4 days, and so it cuts down on the time constraints.
But it's one of those things, it's not like painting, where you see the color you've painted right away. With glaze, as I understand it, it can look pink and come out fire red.
Absolutely. Yep. It's because of the different oxides and chemicals when you make the glaze that it comes out in the firing, the end result. But it doesn't look like that going on. So, and it depends on where it sits in the kiln and what other pieces are around the kiln, and the atmosphere that you are firing in gives you your end result.
So you have to almost envision it while you may be painting it or glazing it, making it look different.
Absolutely. Yep. If you know your glazes and you know what your kiln does, you will get what you are seeking, hopefully. Most of the time you do.
I haven't got past that there's like five different kinds of clay.
Right.
I got to think of all of that.
Each glaze will show differently and fire differently on the clay body.
And there are glazes that seem to just be the color and others that have the gloss to it. Is that a separate finish at the end to get the gloss?
Nope, it just depends on what glaze you're using. You can get a matte, you can get a translucent, you can get a semi-matte. So when you're making your glazes and you want those end results, you're making them to those specifications, so you get that.
And do they make them even more special, like this is a crackle glaze where this is the kind of effect you want?
Yep, like if you're going to Raku fire, the ancient Japanese tea ceremony of Raku firing, those glazes are very metallic and bright, and normally they're not used for eating. They're just more of a decoration. So, yes, that's where you get those different finishes, different colors.
And that's an important factor, too, isn't it, that you have to make sure the glaze fits the purpose, because some glazes have heavy metals and maybe some, you know, stuff you don't want to drink out of.
Absolutely. And all of my glazes that I make about 90% of them. They're all microwave food, oven, and dishwasher safe. But every once in a while, I'll pull out something that will create a crater, so to speak, on a sculptural piece, and no one's going to be eating applesauce off of a wall hanging, so it's pretty safe to put on.
Don't give people a challenge.
I guess you're right.
And Craig would be the first to try it.
Oh, man, applesauce on a plaque on the wall.
It's, yeah. Probably,
it's more fun shooting it onto the plaque, but that's a whole different story.
I was just going to say, applying it might be fun.
There you go.
So you have a place downstate and one in Port Austin, I understand.
Yes, we were fortunate enough to buy a home up here last May. And so I just got my studio set up this year, and I've been spending, I'm going to be spending a total of 8 weeks up here working in this studio and getting a new body of work ready for the next sale.
Okay, but you will have items for sale this coming weekend if people want to see how you do things, and maybe even commission a piece if there's something they need a little larger, a little smaller type of thing?
Absolutely. I do take special orders, and everything in the tent will be for sale.
How much is the tent? You got to know. Patty knew that one was coming.
Yeah, that's kind of expensive, so my pottery would be a better purchase.
Okay. And fortunately, your pottery, rain or shine, does well in the park, but some of the other things out there, like watercolors, people have to be kind of concerned about, even with heavy dew over the weekend. Is that right, Patty?
Yeah, you do need to be careful of it. Even with my photos, I usually take them home and, you know, keep them in the house as opposed to leaving them out at the park. We do have security overnight, both nights. But, excuse me, yes, you do need to be careful of what you've got out in your tent when you're displaying, sure.
Photos don't sell as well when they're slightly curled on all four corners.
Exactly.
Okay. You were mentioning before we got on the air that you wanted to note that you get some funding for this type of event.
Yes, we do. We get grant money. We apply for grant money every year, and we normally get awarded something. It's not always the full money that we ask for, but we get something, and it's from the Michigan Council for the Arts and Cultural Affairs, called MCACA for short. And so that's a state funded, and so it's part of your taxpayer dollars that come back to help us put these type of things on. And so we appreciate the fact that we get some help from the MCACA every year.
And it may be a good sign about the state's economy that you're actually getting funds again, because there were some lean years in there, as I remember.
Yes, there were. There were, from both the state budget, aspect and also from the economy, right? I mean, we always bring in a lot of money to the environment, to the town, and to the artists. So every year we ask for surveys about how much they made, just their gross amount, and I'm the only one that sees that. And then we report back to the grant funding. That report will be due October 1st, I think. And so we'll report back how much we brought into the community. And we ask the artists, we ask the food tent to tell us how much they made. We have moms for, available for a donation. So we take that all into account. And I believe our number last year was $42,000 over that. So, so we bring a lot of money back into the local economy. And, we've had people that say that they come just for this particular event to see the art. And so they're staying in the hotels, they're eating dinner, they're checking out the shops in Port Austin and, the whole Thumb area. So it does bring a lot of people into the area and lets them spend their money. And we have really good art. I mean, we have really, really well-juried show. And so people come to expect that. And we have a lot of artists who say that this is their best show they do all year, right? They make the most money at Art in the Park that they do at any other time. So, so we really have a good reputation for the quality of the artwork that we have and the variety. I mean, we have so many different mediums, from jewelry to ironwork to birdhouses to burn sketching to gourd art that is just unbelievable. We mentioned Deb Keene's Wood Feathers. We have a new artist this year that does ice fishing decoys. So Aaron Creewell will be bringing that. So just a lot of different things, you know, what the standard watercolor, oils, acrylics, photography, ceramics, wood, you know, the standards. But we have a lot of unique things. And, you know, like we mentioned before, everything that they create is unique itself. So a lot of things to choose from, you know, with the bands and the music. It's just a really great weekend for the entire family.
And by doing it in the park, you have that natural setting, you have natural light. It's not like, you know, being in the middle of winter in a gymnasium with fluorescents.
Right, yes, exactly. I think the park is what makes it, from the survey results, you know, everybody loves the location. It's just really, really nice, and, you know, it's just a great, great spot.
And you mentioned that before we got together here that Saturday for sure, maybe Sunday, there's going to be some transportation from downtown?
Yes, the Port Austin team has teamed up with the Thumb Area Transit this summer to do a pilot for some shuttle buses, and so we are going to piggyback on that on Saturday, so you can catch the bus at the Welcome Center, and the schedules are all inside there. You can see which ones are going to run, but they run a trip out to the Port Crescent State Park, and so whenever that Port Crescent State Park branch leaves, then you can jump on the bus there, and they'll drop you off at Gallup Park. And then we're still working on Sunday. Hopefully we're going to be able to have some buses. I'm still working out with TAT. But hopefully there'll be signs out on the road that you can park back in one of the grass lots and then just catch the shuttle bus over to the park to try to help with the, you know, some of the parking issues that we've had.
And parking issues on Saturday, a lot of that's in the morning with the farmer's market.
Farmer's market, yeah. It gets crazy in town, but it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, there's the farmer's market going on from 9 until 1 in downtown Port Austin. And then the park is just a little bit of a walk, but not too bad, down on 25 towards Caseville. So we're
But it gives you a whole day in town. It gives you a whole day in town. You can
start
8 o'clock in the morning at the farmer's market.
It's a great weekend, like I said. It's just a lot of stuff to do, and with the weather going to be really good, we're hoping to get a big crowd. And the bands are just really good, and it's just a really fun time. We have a great, great weekend.
Well, terrific. Anything else we need to know?
If you want for more information, you can like us on Facebook. There's also the www.thumbartsguild.org website, or you can give me a call at 989-670-8196 if you need some more information.
Very good. And Deb, you're going to spend both days out there showing people what you can take and do with a lump of clay.
Absolutely. I will be there.
Sounds almost godlike.
Lump of clay. But we do also want to mention the lighthouses.
Yep.
Deb, do you want to go over that?
Sure. On Friday evening at the Welcome Center in downtown Port Austin, many tag artists have donated artwork for a silent auction. But within the silent auction, there are special lighthouses that many artists have donated in all different mediums. So it could be photography, it could be clay, it could be mixed media. So it's really kind of interesting to see how these artists think on how they want to develop and create a lighthouse. So you can bid on those pieces, and then you can still check them out. They'll be transported over to Art in the Park, and on Sunday at 3 o'clock will be last call if you have one in mind that you would like to make sure you take home with yourself. You can go bid on that again at Art in the Park. So there's the silent auction Friday evening. There'll be light refreshments, and there'll be a whole lot of very good artwork to see, plus some special lighthouses to take a peek at.
And they've been doing this at Art in the Park, especially the Friday night event, for years, doing different things. They had decorated boxes, fish clocks, a whole bunch of things, and this year it's lighthouses, which is a big favorite for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. Each year, tag members come up with an idea and vote on a subject matter, and this year it was lighthouses.
And do you get a base of something to do with the boxes?
Nope.
Everybody started with a box.
Nope.
I mean, some people could do it as
this
a painting
year,
then. You could do it as a sculpture.
You can do whatever you want. Like Patty is a photographer, so I'm hoping or thinking she might do something in that medium. And then since I'm a potter, I did a slab built lighthouse, and I mounted it on a board.
Oh.
So each artist has the free range to do whatever they would like to create a lighthouse. So it's kind of interesting to see what all the artists come up with.
And the one you created, you used glazes that we could eat off this lighthouse.
Yes, I did, just for you.
There.
Greg, you can come and bid on it and put some applesauce on it at some point.
Oh, well.
There you go.
There you go. Bring the applesauce. Okay, this is coming up this weekend. Friday night you have the big event, and that's at the Welcome Center, as I understand it.
Right, 6:30 to 8:00.
There's like the lighthouses and other events going on there. And then the Art in the Park itself starts Saturday morning at 10, and then again Sunday morning, 10 till 5, same
both
hours.
Both days, right, yep.
And you can catch a bus at the Welcome Center on Saturday at least and head on down if you want to save a few footsteps.
There you go.
Thanks for taking time with us today, ladies.
Thank you so much. You're
welcome.
For having us, Craig.
I hope you get a great turnout, and I hope the forecast holds.
I do, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, Deb. Our guests today on the program have been Patty Finan and Deb Maxwell talking about Art in the Park coming up this Labor Day weekend at Gallup Park. The park is Gallup Park in Port Austin, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and the Friday night event at the Visitor Center. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.